Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum is here to tell us about the making of Sinead O'Connor's The Lion and the Cobra.
Yes, indeed. And it's with a heavy heart, of course, that I'm speaking about this 2 days before her anniversary. We lost Sinead in 2 years ago, and I feel sad. I miss her every day. She's someone who not only made an indelible mark on the Irish and international music scene, but her home was in Temple Lane Studios, which is also the home of the Irish Rock and Roll Museum. She started working in Temple Lane Studios at the age of 17, all the way back in 1983, in between her shifts as a waitress in the Badass Cafe. And so where I work and where I talk about her every day is, dare I say, absolutely indelibly linked with the figure that was Sinead O'Connor and the icon that was Sinead O'Connor.
Where did the inspiration for the songs from this album come from?
It's a really, really good question. Because it's a debut album, we're talking about an 18-year-old Sinead O'Connor who begins recording this album, and it would have been released and finished when she was about 20. What will I say to you? It's 20 years in the making. We know, without getting into the nitty-gritty of it, that Sinead had experienced a huge amount of trauma in her life. This is a deeply personal album. Last week we had an album filled of hits and bangers and bombastic rock and roll. This is a meditative piece. It is incredibly personal. The first track that we play there, Troy, it's about the breakup of a relationship. It's not an easy song. It's a long song. It's 6 minutes long. It's not going to get a lot of airplay, quite simply because of its length and its very haunting kind of lyrics. But what I will say is this is an album that was forged in the fire of Sinead's experiences. And at the age of 18, 19, she'd probably been through way too much.
Let's take a listen to some of the tracks from it.
This is fabulous. This is I Want Your Hands on Me. And again, the introduction of Sinead is a very unique voice in Irish music because, of course, some of the songs are very meditative. This is quite playful, dare I say, sexy. It's just a song about, well, it's romantic and it's alluring. It's also got kind of a nice kind of poppy beat to it, which is certainly a departure from some of the other songs on the album, which could be considered haunting. But it's Sinead O'Connor having fun.
Yeah.
And she's allowing herself that kind of to explore her own sexuality and her own early womanhood.
Were there any hits, really successful singles from this album?
There was one, but nothing that really set the world on fire. The main song on the album, I suppose, that people will remember, and I remember it very vividly because of, well, the first time I heard it was Sinead O'Connor performing Mandinka with her shaved head on the Late Late Show. And my eyebrows and the rest of my family's eyebrows were, what have we got here? Who is this young force of nature that is springing? She just didn't fit the paradigm, did she?
She didn't. Did the album make an impact?
Absolutely. I think, although maybe in terms of chart success, it doesn't set the world on fire, what it did was establish Sinead O'Connor as an interesting, vibrant and unique voice in Irish music.
Tell us about this one.
Jackie. And again, we return to that idea of the haunting lyric. And this one is perhaps maybe the most obvious one because Sinead O'Connor has actually spoke about the fact that she was actually singing this as the ghost of a dead Scottish woman, talking about lost love, looking back at regret and missed opportunities. It's gorgeous. It's sad. And it perhaps provides a window into the soul of Sinead, who who at that point had already too many regrets for one so young. During the making of the album, she got pregnant, which actually delayed production and things like that. So this is a look into, I suppose, Sinead looking to take on the persona of another person, but to talk deeply about her own feelings.
What impact overall do you think she had on Irish music, Irish culture?
I don't think Sinead O'Connor is so much a star of Irish music as an icon. I don't think we'll ever have another Sinead O'Connor. It's interesting because, of course, you can't separate Sinead from the controversy that she engendered throughout her career. But what I will say is that Sinead O'Connor was not the voice Ireland wanted. She was the one we needed. She spoke up. She stood up, as Eleanor Roosevelt so eloquently said, well-behaved women rarely make history. She was angry. She was sad. And so was Ireland. And I don't think anyone captured the zeitgeist, the moment of Irish music and Irish cultural change better or more effectively than Sinead.
I've lived my life as a good man.
Drink Before the War. And I have to tell a story here because I recently gave a tour. I had a retired record producer from New York on my tour, and when I said I was going to obviously speak about Sinead O'Connor, he immediately asked me to speak about this song because he said it has haunted him for 40 years.
Really?
It's a song, just in terms of theme, very much about the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And of course, it wouldn't be an Irish artist if we didn't get a song about that. And of course, we're talking about 1987 when this song is released and the Troubles are at their absolute peak and, dare I say, worst. It's a song about the tension, the moment that occurs, a peaceful moment that occurs in the immediate anticipation of violence and awfulness. What I will say is that for the age that Sinead O'Connor was, to produce such a patient song, not rushing, the album is an artist in control. And this song, I know it's not a foot tapper, but in terms of an exploration of, again, the Irish condition, this is very much part of it. And it really resonates with me that it didn't just strike home, but for the expat Irish community abroad as well, this was something special.
Do you think overall, I know we're talking about Sinead this week because of her anniversary, did she get the respect she deserved?
No.
But even musically,
I think those that knew. But I suppose you can't separate the dancer from the dance here. Sinead was not just a musician; she was an activist. And I suppose my biggest bugbear is that on her passing, there was such an outpouring of grief and heartfelt in so many genuine cases, but also where were we when she needed us? She was a very obviously troubled soul, but my God, the woman had something to say and she always spoke her truth.
Wasn't afraid to say it. Yeah. You mentioned Mandinka a little earlier, probably the track that's maybe most familiar to most of us from this album, The Lion and the Cobra. How successful was it?
This is easily the biggest hit from the album. And again, speaking of iconic moments, Sinead O'Connor on The Late Late Show, her shaved head, her absolutely gorgeous eyes, and she just went out there. And I don't think there wasn't a person in the country who on Saturday morning wasn't talking about, who is that we just saw? Because this was the song that really launched it. I know it would be a couple of years we'd eventually get to the US number one of Nothing Compares, which is easily her biggest hit. Sinead O'Connor is only one of four Irish artists to have a US number one.
How successful was this song? How well did it do in the charts?
Well, it got to number six of the Irish charts. So it was certainly a big hit, but it didn't perhaps, you know, take Ireland by storm in the way. But again, sometimes, and this album I think speaks to it, sometimes it's more looking back rather than in the moment that we appreciate things. And I think Sinead with Mandinka just gave us a new, vibrant, exciting and honest voice.
Well, we'll let our listeners appreciate a little bit of this afternoon. Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum here to chat about Sinead O'Connor's The Lion and the Cobra. Thanks for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Thank you kindly.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.